Hey guys, welcome back to Maintaining the Me in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana. And first I want to start off by just saying thank you guys so much for downloading the last episode, Get Your Spark Back, and a lot of other podcasts, because I saw that a lot of other podcasts were getting brought back from like 2018, 2019. So whoever, like new people that are listening or that we're downloading like the old ones, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It really made me feel good because it had been so long and I wasn't sure how it was going to be received or if people were still following the page or what was going on. So that was really, really a great feeling to know that, you know, people want to hear me and, you know, care about the podcast. And that really motivated me to want to keep doing it. So even though I wasn't able to do one right away, I have definitely been thinking about it, and you know, that's why I'm coming back so quickly with another one. And this time I have a couple of notes. I didn't just throw it out there. So hopefully you guys really like this podcast. Today I'm actually going to talk about pursuing love while considering divorce. This is something that in the beginning of this year, I had did the Daniel fast, which is a fast that I do with the church. I hadn't done it in years and years and years, but I didn't really have a set like New Year's resolution or anything like that, but I really do like to start my year off with some type of goal. Like, even if it's not like, oh, I'm gonna stop doing this or stop doing that, it's more so like for a short amount of time, just to put myself in some type of discipline mindset, I like to start with a goal. So this time I started with the Daniel fast, which is no meat, no dairy, no sugar, well, unnatural sugar. It's kind of like a vegan diet, just to make it simple. So I started off with that. And then I didn't follow the church's prayer guidance. I just kind of did my own thing. They were doing stuff, I think, on Zoom. And so I really didn't know how it was going to fit into my schedule, but I wanted to be accountable for prayer. So I just joined a couple of, I started following a couple of plans in the Bible app that I have in the morning, because that's something that I do every morning as I look at the verse of the day. And so I just incorporated a plan. So I did like two or three different plans, and the plans give you like a topic, and then you go off of whatever their plan is. It's like 5 days, 7 days, some are 21 days. Right now, actually, with my Facebook group, we're doing the 21 days daily prayers. And then I started off with this first plan that I started with was pursuing love while considering divorce. I just wanted to stick to marriage, husband, family type of topics, because that's something that I really want to continue praying for all the time. And so I did start off with that one. And I like that one because I felt like when I was going through my winter season in my marriage, I really needed something like that. Like, where, you know, it's a very common place for marriages to be in when things are not working out the way you want them to, or you're not feeling warm and fuzzy, you know, when you have a bunch of kids or even one kid, you know, when your life has changed and you're changing and you're growing with somebody, you know, there are different phases. And so when you're in a phase that doesn't feel the best or doesn't feel as close or butterflies or whatever, that's really a lot of times, especially when you're getting into like your late 30s, 40s, you know, you've been married for a while, it does come up. And I feel like people don't talk about it very much. And it's not something that anyone, of course, is proud of or, you know, wants to really talk about or acknowledge. But I do think that it is really helpful for people because, you know, you do want to have alternative information, you know, especially through the Bible, because marriage is a God product. And I try to keep reminding myself of that when I want to do my own thing, or when I want to do what I want to do, or I feel like it's not working or whatever. And it has been really helpful, I would say, for the past couple years to just really focus in on what God wants for my marriage and how God sees myself and my husband individually and as a partnership and as parents. So it kind of takes my own ego out of it when I'm looking at the bigger picture, who all it affects, you know. So I think that that has been really helpful. So getting back to the Bible app, that's where I got the actual title from. And in that, you know, she just was basically talking about, like, you know, how difficult it is sometimes to navigate marriage, especially in these days and times when it seems like divorce is just happened so easily. Like, people are just kind of, you know, like, oh, well, it's just like, well, if this doesn't work, then, you know, you could just get divorced. It's almost like it is an alternative, but people are not thinking it all the way through. I think that because it's so readily available now, people are just like, oh, well, if it doesn't work, then, you know, it just is what it is. And really, you know, divorce is such a hard thing. And I'm not speaking from experience, like I've actually been through a divorce, but I can say that I've been in a low place in my marriage to where I considered it. And I understand why people get divorced. You know, like, I do understand it. So I do have empathy for people that have went all the way, because I've listened to numerous stories. I've listened, you know, to many women and men, husbands and wives, that have been through really, really hard times in their marriages. And, you know, there's been a lot of betrayal, or there's, you know, finance problems, or just like meanness, you know, just like not supporting each other, people feeling very trapped, isolated, just the whole thing. And so I don't come from a place of judgment when it comes to it, because I feel like people are doing what is best for them, what they feel like is really best for them. And it really is a very difficult decision. So I do not take it lightly. I do not, you know, come from a place of judgment of like, oh, well, you just let your marriage go. I do understand how hard it can be to stay in a marriage if you don't feel like it's working, or you're in this transitional age too, makes a big difference. Cause when you're in an age of like your 30s, early 40s, you're like, you know what? I can start all over again and still live my best life. Like, this was my early years, and, you know, people do it all the time. This could be my second marriage. I can get married again, you know? And then they start going into this delusion of divorce and what divorce is gonna look like afterwards. And I was reading this book, and she was talking about how women, as a way to cope with anxiety or things that are really hard for women, we tend to go focus on the future. It really helps ease our anxiety by thinking about what's next, what could happen, what's possible to happen next. And that can throw you into a whole nother fantasy where you're just like totally disconnected from where you are right now into what could possibly be. And it's just a very slippery slope and a danger zone, because you don't see how anything can turn around in that place. You don't see how you could ever get back to a good place. And so you start fantasizing about what's next and what can happen and how much better things can be. And a lot of times when you're in those type of fantasies, you're not thinking about how the negative side. You're not thinking about, you know, your kids, what the long-term effects of the divorce could be for your kids, or even what your relationship is going to look like after the divorce. I know when I talk to plenty of women, and even, you know, I had some friends that, you know, they had a amicable relationship when they were married, even if they were not in a great place. But after they separated and lived in different places, the parenting looked a little different. Even though they didn't have, like, you know, ill feelings, and they both really wanted to make it work for the kids, it was like, yeah, well, it's not as easy to take the kids to school when you have to leave your house and go to somebody else's house and drop them off and then come back home. Then it's like, okay, yeah, I know that I was the one that used to drop the kids off, but now it doesn't work for me anymore, because now I have something else that I need to do. So now I need to do pickups, or maybe I'm not picking up or dropping off because it doesn't fit into my schedule, and I was only doing it because I was already in the house. You know, it's like, those small details can throw off your entire work schedule. You know, that's something that, you know, maybe you were already, you know, dropping off in the morning, or you already were, you know, doing the drop-offs. But on the weekends, when you have a business and you used to be able to just like go do your business, you know, not have to worry about who's going to babysit the kids and who's going to, you know, you have a spouse or a partner that's there all the time. you don't realize how much freedom you have to just kind of go in and out. And so those are like the small details that people don't really talk about because they're so used to them happening that when it doesn't happen, it causes even more drama. You know, it's like, oh, you're trying to intentionally do this. It's like, no, when we're living in the house together, we're living a certain type of lifestyle. So you don't realize how much you're actually helping each other or how things are working because you're focused on the part that's not working. And so that's a whole nother tailspin of different problems when you actually do live apart. And so I was thinking about when I was thinking about the title of this and thinking about just the Bible app suggestions, you know, a lot of it, she was just talking about how when we first get into like a tough spot or we're in a, you know, want to get a divorce or you're feeling like, you know, this is not going to work. Things are never going to get better. That, you know, we have to understand and know that God is a redeemer. He makes things new. Christ is stronger than sin. You know, whatever the issue is, God can turn it around, that he does have the power, even if we don't. Because a lot of times it's like we don't see how things can get better. And so we automatically cancel it out for God when God actually can do all things. And we don't have that kind of power, but with his help, we can. And because God is for marriage, he will help you with your marriage if it's what you want. Now, he's not going to come in like a magician and just switch things around because we do have free will. But a lot of it does have to do where we are. And I'm going to say, you know, there's mistakes that are made during this process because sometimes it's like, okay, well, I don't want to get divorced. And I do love my spouse. So I'm going to do a little bit just to, you know, make things better. Like you're thinking like, okay, yeah, I was mad yesterday, but I'm going to try to make things better. And then you end up not getting the reaction. Maybe you brought something home nice, or you, you know, try to make dinner or do something out of the ordinary and it gets shut down. You know, or it's like they don't respond how you want them to respond. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is not working. It kind of just goes into the phase of this doesn't work. You know, my efforts aren't working. You could take it personal and then it doesn't get fixed. And you get out of the mindset of even wanting to fix it because one or two incidents happen that didn't go your way. And so when we're thinking about pursuing love while considering divorce, it is one of those things where people make the mistake of one, trying to get your spouse on board for reconciliation. And depending on where you're at, if you're like in the fall season or winter season of your marriage, your spouse could be totally checked out. And there's no guarantee that you guys are in the same season. Sometimes you can think that you're like in spring and they may feel like they're in fall, depending on how they're experiencing the marriage, depending on, you know, what benefit they're getting out of the marriage. Sometimes you're in two different spaces. I know for myself, when I was in that dark space of my marriage, I was in the fall, but my husband was totally in the winter. You know, and so you're in whatever season that your spouse is in, that's the worst of it. So I couldn't be just in the fall. I had to recognize that if my husband is in the winter, we are in the winter. It is freezing cold for both of us, because if he doesn't warm up, then it could end, you know? So that's something that I also, you know, thought about. And I was like, trying to get your spouse on board, either one of you, because some days you have good days, sometimes they have bad days, but whoever is recognizing what's happening the most. So if it's you and you're the one that is taking the leadership role in reconciliation, you have to expect that things are not going to go the way that you want them to go. It's not going to be like a magic thing where you've decided to make it work and they're just automatically going to be on board. Sometimes you're going to be wanting to be on board and they're not. And sometimes they're going to want to be on board and you're not in that process. Because what's happening during that time is like, you may still be, you know, you're still living together. You're still doing family stuff. You're still functioning. You're still like, you know, all of these things are still going on. It's not always, you know, one person moves out and the other person. It's like there's all kind of things that are, can be going on while you're pursuing love, while considering divorce. There's a lot of different things that are happening in your own personal lives. Maybe work is going really good for you and you're really feeling good about where you are in your career, so you don't have to pay attention to what your relationship is looking like right now. You know, some, or, but what if the person is not having such a great time in their career and they're really stressed and they need more support and you're going, you know, in this high of your great career and how things are going, you know, and you're not there for your person, then yeah, then that pursuing love while considering divorce can be a really dark time for that other person that's not having just a, such a great experience in a different area of their life. So I think that when we're thinking about even the title, Pursuing Love While Considering Divorce, there's so many things that really have to be considered and acknowledged in that time, because you can sit in that space for years, you know, and then people wonder like, oh, well, you know, once all their kids are grown, there's nothing left for the relationship, and then people end up breaking up because during that process, it's like they already knew that they were disconnected and there was no effort made towards connection, or very little effort made towards connection, to where you've already made up in both of your minds that you're just here for the kids. You're just here to the house is paid off, or you're just here until you can get on your feet, or you're just here. It's like once you've already made that decision, then there can't really be any reconciliation because you've already decided that it's not going to work and you already believe that it can't turn around. And so I just wanted to do this podcast and talk about this because it is such a dangerous place to be, especially because you may not have all the information that you need to be able to turn around. One thing, you can turn things around and you can get to a new place where you don't even feel the old feelings anymore, where this actually feels like a new relationship. It's possible. Just knowing that it's possible that you can turn your marriage around, that you can start new, that it can feel like a new relationship where you don't have to actually get divorced and remarry, you know, get married to somebody else to be happy, that you can still be married to the same person and be happy and be in a new place. God can do that. He can. And there's a certain level of skill that you're going to need to gain. But if you're open, you'll be able to get there. And don't make that mistake of thinking that you have to get your spouse on board. We had went on a vacation this summer to Vegas, and we were at the MGM at the pool. And there was two ladies that came up, and they were sitting next to me. It was just me and my daughter. I think my son, my husband, and my other daughter, they were still in the room. They hadn't came down yet. And so we were sitting by the pool and talking to these ladies. They were here there for the hair show. And one lady, she was a single mom, and she had, she was there like to support her friend. Her friend was actually in the hair show. She was participating, and she was talking about her husband, and they were going through a divorce. And so she was saying how, you know, she had like six kids. They had like six kids together, and like, I don't know, like maybe 10 grandkids. And she looked really good. She probably was like in her 50s. I think she was like in her 50s, maybe early to late 50s. But she's had to start working again because she got separated from her husband. And so she couldn't afford to pay everything for herself. And I think they had split some bills or something. She was telling me the story. But the saddest part of the story was, you know, it was during COVID that they really started to have a lot of challenges, like many marriages, that they really started to have these problems that came to the surface, because of course there probably was things going on before that hadn't been addressed, but COVID kind of just brought everything to the table. And so she said that her husband wouldn't go to therapy, and that was the deal breaker for her. And I said, well, if he would have went to therapy, you know, how could that have made things better? And she's like, because at least I would have known that he wanted to try. But as soon as, and I don't even remember how many years, it was like maybe 25 or 30 years they had been married. But she said that he didn't want to go to therapy, and that was just a deal breaker for her because she felt like they were having issues and he didn't want to address them and that they needed to go to therapy. And since he didn't want to go to therapy, that's why she decided to get the divorce. And I was like, had it been maybe a year or two before, I would have understood and felt like, yeah, that is the only option. Like, That is, well, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't want to go to therapy, you know, because at that time before, I didn't know, because I had not been through that type of experience to say, yeah, if he's not on board to go to therapy, because that's the things that we've been taught. That's what we've learned, is that, you know, that's the only way to change it, is like if you have to do these couples things. But what I discovered over this time of just my own relationship and turning things around and, you know, through the process, is that you really don't have to do couples work in order to turn things around. And a lot of times, if you are in crisis, that makes things worse by confronting all these problems. Because when you're coming to therapy, one person wants to be there, the other person doesn't want to be there. Or even if you both come and then you're talking about all these problems and you both are on two different sides of the fence and you can't come to an agreement on it. And, you know, some things are just, you know, your personality thinks one way and his personality thinks another way, and you just can't get it on the same page. And then you feel like, oh, well, that's just it. We just don't need to be together. And for her, because he wouldn't even go, she didn't realize. And I asked her, I said, well, I know it didn't work out. You know, he didn't want to go, but did you go? She never went either. So it's like, so a lot of times people are forfeiting their marriage because the other person doesn't want to go to therapy. And no time are they thinking, well, I can just go by myself. And this is an unpopular opinion, but I believe that therapy is an individual sport. I believe that therapy is great if both people are on board and are already in a good place and maybe want to support the other partner, or, you know, want to actively work on things, or they want to talk about stuff like premarital type of stuff or like during marriage type of stuff. And it's, you know, and it works for some people, but it definitely doesn't work for others, and it should not be a deal breaker. Therapy should be an individual choice. Everybody is not ready to confront their past. Everybody is not ready to confront issues that they're having, you know, and having that compassion and empathy for someone that is not ready to go to therapy can be really healing to the relationship, because you can really just go to therapy on your own because you are ready and you are open. You can be that driver in going to therapy yourself, rather than waiting for your spouse to go. I really recommend, you know, getting your own coaching, getting your own therapy, you know, if you feel like that's what you need, because it only needs one game changer. I was reading the Fair Play book that I mentioned in the last episode, Get Your Spark Back, and there was one part in the book where she was talking about a psychologist that she had met, and she was saying how you know, it only takes one person. It all starts with a game changer. Her name is Dr. Phyllis Cohen. That's the one that was talking about it. And she was like, you know, it all starts with a game changer. Only one person has to initiate change proactively to change the entire system. And that one person can be you. It doesn't have to be, you know, the other person and you. It could just be you making that initial proactive change, like just focusing on what you can change, which is really yourself. Because in any relationship, marriage, friendship, sibling, really any type of relationship, you can only control yourself. You cannot control the way that someone else spends their money. You cannot control whether you get cheated on. You cannot control the way another person copes, what, you know, what their coping skills are. You cannot control the way another person deals with stress. Those are things that are out of your control. But you can control the way that you deal with stress, the way that you spend money, the way that you handle your own stuff, and that will influence the marriage. So I don't want to go overboard and just like talk your ear off about this, but I did want to bring it up just because I do feel like, you know, it's just information that we do not have, that we're not really privy to all the time. We're always thinking that when we see people on Instagram and, you know, all of a sudden the next month or two they're getting a divorce, it's like, oh wow, they just woke up one day. And it's like, no, sometimes it takes years for people to finally come to the place where they just get a divorce. But it always starts with people deciding that they're not going to try anymore, both people deciding that they don't want to try anymore. And you need at least one person at a time to still be pursuing the love, even if you're considering divorce. I am not going to tell you what to do. If you're listening to this and you are a person that's considering divorce, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I do encourage you to research more about the love. I would say take it to God first, seek Him and His kingdom, and to really focus on the things that you need in your marriage and in your life right now. Because a lot of times, the thing that we're missing really doesn't have anything to do with the marriage. It's really about where we are. It's about our boundaries, what we've allowed to happen, you know, the way we're taking care of ourselves, the energy that we're bringing into the marriage. And it really takes a toll. So if we're able to focus ourselves and be that game changer, and not just focusing on the marriage, but really focusing on what you need. I see a lot of times people are like, oh, well, you know, if I get divorced, then I could start saving money and I could lose weight and I can start, you know, getting my revenge body and all these different things. And it's like, those are things that you can do now. You can start working on those things for yourself now without getting a divorce. Divorce is not like a magical thing that changes you back into your old self. It's like, no, that person is long gone, and now it's time to you to rediscover some things about yourself that make you feel like your best self. And it really has nothing to do with your spouse. Now, there could be some things that are going on that are making it harder for you, you know, to get to that place. And I talked a little bit about that in the last Get Your Spark Back. But it's like, what are you bringing to yourself? Like, what is it that you do have control over? Take a minute to think about that. And if it is, if you think that the marriage needs therapy, start with yourself. Because you're starting with yourself, and whatever you think that the marriage needs, if you start with yourself, you can influence the marriage, which in turn influences your spouse. And no, it's not going to happen overnight. And no, it may take months, it may take years to get to a whole new place, but you can still put that effort forward and feel good about yourself and feel good about your marriage and, you know, considering your kids and making them, you know, put them in a position where they're in an unstable situation. You know, it's just, once you decide to get married, it's a huge responsibility. It's not that easy to leave, but it also is your responsibility to be able to make it a better situation. And I know people are like, oh, I've tried everything. Try again. Maybe you didn't have the information that you needed. Maybe you need to just go to therapy by yourself. Maybe you need to get a coach, a relationship coach that can really help you. And this has also, just that my own situation and just me being a coach, this has opened up a whole new like program that I'm starting, where I'm helping women, married moms, you know, turn their marriages around, helping them just start with some information that can help them turn their marriage around, giving you some insight and bringing it really back to I have a course this is free. If you really are interested in just getting some of this information, you can email me at modernmommymogul@gmail.com and I'll send you the course so you can look at it. And it really just is just some information. It's almost like another podcast where I'm just really breaking down the basics of what you need to be able to turn your marriage around. It's just information. It's information that I'm sure you already know, but sometimes depending on where you're at in your marriage, hearing those things can trigger something that can spark a turnaround. Just bringing yourself back to square one sometimes when things have gotten like haywire, out of control, you know, kids, everything that just be, everything's out of whack. Just bringing you back to that place, square one of, hey, this is the reason why I got married. And these are some things that may be keeping us from getting back to that good place. So if you're interested in listening to the free course, definitely email me and I will send you the link to access the videos. But I hope that this was a helpful podcast. I hope that, you know, you email me if you need that information. And if you're in a good place in your marriage right now, just considering that, I mean, I'm glad that a lot of the information that I did get, I got before I got to that place. So you never want to wait. I feel like this is some great advice that I'm giving right now. You never want to wait till things are bad to try to fix them or to get information. So whenever I'm, you know, any type of marriage information, I have people that are in the Facebook group that are in a great place in their marriage, but they just want to be in the group so that they can, you know, get some information. Like, they don't think that it can't happen to them. And I think that's a big mistake that we make too, is thinking like, oh no, we're great. Oh, this will never happen. Oh, we'll always be good. Or, oh, it's just the kids. It's like, you want to be prepared just in case. You want to have more information so that when things do seem like they're getting a little bit off, you're not panicking. It's like, oh, okay, no, this is also part of the process. So this is something that I can do. I can fall back. I could just kind of, you know, rely on God right now to really give me wisdom and, you know, help me have more empathy for my spouse. Oh, they're going through a hard time. Instead of me taking it personal, let me sit back and think about, you know, what they may be going through, what, you know, what hard time they may be having and why they're responding this way, you know. So it just gives you like a deeper thought process and like more information to go off of so that we're not like feeling attacked, you know. So I definitely wanted to just share that. I think that you know, we're in this crazy time, we're post, almost pretty much post pandemic, and people are, you know, have lost their relationships. We're hearing about divorce all the time, people in long-term relationships breaking up. We hear it all the time with different people. And you know, I just want to give people hope and letting them know, like, hey, you can turn things around. I know that divorce is not an easy decision. And I know that people don't really want to get divorced. They're just at the end of their skill set. And I really want you to see it that way. You know, you may not need to get a divorce. You may just be at the end of your skill set and you need someone that can help you get the skills you need to be able to turn things around so that you can continue in your marriage. You can be a good example for your children. You know, you can show them something different, show them how to turn things around and to break generational curses. And it really starts with us. So during that time, during the time that you are pursuing love while considering divorce, definitely be careful about the advice that you get or even talking about it to certain people. You really want to make sure that it's the right type of support. I definitely say get professional help, get a therapist, get a relationship coach. At the bare minimum, email me and I will send you that free course of information. But I would say, you know, you don't really want to get advice during that time from people because they are supporting you. And they may have good intentions and they may be supporting you, but they're not necessarily supporting the marriage. And what you need at that time is marriage support. And even though you are, you know, focusing on yourself, you don't want to get bad advice from people and end up, you know, ruining your marriage. And you could have just done a few things just to turn them around. So really be careful about who you're talking to during that time, because they may not have the skills either. So yes, eventually you will need your spouse to be on board to make a marriage work. You can't, of course, be married to yourself, but there are steps that you can take to get to that place to turn things around. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you are divorced and you're listening to this, like I said, I'm not judging you. I'm not saying that, you know, that you didn't try everything that you thought you could. But what I'm saying is if you do end up getting remarried, you know, these are some good tools to have. And these are some good things to think about, that, you know, there is opportunity for you to turn things around. So that's all I got for today. I hope this was very helpful. And like I said, please email me at Modern Mommy Mogul, ModernMommieMogul, @gmail.com if you want to get the free course to turn your marriage around. It's just 5 steps to turn your marriage around for married moms that are considering, you know, breaking up. So let me know if you need that information. Everything is confidential, so I won't be sharing your information with anybody or that you're, you know, tuning in. So please download and share this video, this podcast with your friends, whoever you think needs it, all the married moms that you know, even if you don't think that they need it, you just never know who may be, you know, in a tough spot in their relationship. So thanks again for listening, and I will check in back with you guys another day. Bye.